بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Our family started living in Smilov Beach around the 60s. And the area was a white area, declared an Indian area. So the whites had to leave slowly but surely they were living. So you would hear some stories from the ladies, how it was then. So this Vesvel Mshlanga, Mshlanga was still sugarcane bush. Springer Hills also was a sugarcane bush. The only property was inhabited was the top shop Kadwas. The whole thing was bush. So that we saw ourselves. But it's nice to hear some stories from the old. So as they came here, then this was like a prime site. First time we heard coming near the beach. It's like a big thing it was. So just then, some of the more prominent, now the very wealthy Hindus, they would invite. So the people were quite reluctant, but they persisted. And just one occasion, the woman went to one woman. I heard the story from themselves. Now, as they returned, say, it's a great thing now. See if something has to happen whilst we are at the Hindu's house. Then what will be our position? What will people say? How will it be viewed? Means that if someone dies there, or someone falls sick there, or some of the puja, etc., affects you then, a woman kept on insisting, or they put their foot down, never again. So these people of the old have some glorious habits, great habits. And these habits were such that they are priceless, you can't attach a value. It may have sounded a bit strict, hard, aggressive, but you only see the results after years, 20 years, 30 years, then you see the results. But the secret in them, what I noticed, was whatever the elder said, and they went with it. Then they won't employ their brains and their minds. Furthermore, Thami Sabahamdra says also that the senior may not be very righteous, but he's a pillar of strength and his direction for the family. Someone senior, in whatever aspect, but he's senior. And go with him. Don't sneak away. See him coming from this side, you went that side. From this side, you went that side. That is this children's tricks, you know. I don't see running away this side. So this clear relationship, good, sound, healthy relationship. For righteousness and virtue, you need both things. You need to be on the right lane and the right people. The right lane and the right people. If you only got the lane and you don't have the people, then you're off. And you have the people, not the lane, then you're off. And this comes out so clearly. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. What's that? The right lane. Does the Quran say stop there? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Then the right people. So if only the lane was important, the Quran should have said sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. And if only the people are important, the Quran should have said sirat al-ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. So sirat al-mustaqim and Sirat al-Ladhina Amta'ali. Both is needed. Now, for a person that is definitely looking for hidayat, halka sa ishara uske liye kafi hai. It's an indication and the whole life will be turned around. I know around the 60s, so one family person just became a doctor. So his hair was a little bit long. It's time now, between 20 and 40, and must show the hair. And now, anyone that comes from Jamaat or Sunnah, he has to have that hair. Anyone that is newly qualified, 15, 20 years, must have that hair. But you tell them, but you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at times really lived on khajur. That's what about that Sunnah? This Sunnah has to do it. See, yesterday one person came and he said, but isn't the Sunnah now that if you sell your property, you must invest it again? I said, I'll explain the hadith on another occasion. But over 70 places in the Quran Sharif, the namaz has been emphasized. Aqimus Salata, over 70 places. So, from my understanding, do you give it that type of importance as you give your wealth? He fell ashamed, put his head down. So, the deen is just about wealth, some status, some position, some recognition. So to put things in perspective, you know, see the namaz, what's the position of that namaz? How are you doing the namaz? Whether it's Fajr or whether it's Isha. Whether it is that you are tired or you are relaxed. But what's the position you are giving to that namaz? Are you giving it the right position? See, if that person is not in your life, the namaz won't be held as well. Because it's like a rudderless boat. Man has got no rudder, it's got no direction. So, like you need the lane, you need the rudder as well in that direction. And that's the system of Allah Ta'ala, Sirat al-Ladina al-Amta alayhim. Without that, it's not going to work. But then for this to happen, then the mind must be absolutely clear. No suspicions, no doubts. See, this science of tasawwuf is extremely sensitive. Very, very sensitive. And the moment someone shows a little bit of negligence, then that flow that should be experienced, you won't get the flow. You can do whatever you want. There was one more, Qasim Sahib, and in those days now, in the time of Narawati Sahib, it's over 170 years ago. So he had some summons against him with a fine of over $1 million that zamana. That zamana, I think yesterday they were doing a kitab reading the top. A nice cow was sold at 10 rupees. How much? Nice cow was sold at 10 rupees. And I can't believe that. When I came from India, a nice goat was about 50 rands. Goat. Now, khab o khyal mein nahi. So there was a summon and he was being fined for over $1 million. He went everywhere. Eventually he landed up by Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi. Ganj doesn't mean ganja. You say Ganj, what is Ganj? Ganj is like a street. Ganj Muradabadi, like an area, locality. They call it a Ganj. So there's a big fine against him for the government. We hear for dua, eventually he landed by Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi. Now, he was known as a Sahib Kash in that zamana. He sees things, and the accuracy he sees things with, Allah shows him, right? Not that he's got the knowledge of ghayb, but Allah gave him the sight. So he asked him, where you come from? I'm from Saharanpur. Then, you know there is a saintly person, Mawlana Qasim Sahib there. Then why did you ignore him and come here? So he said, Aqidat yahan par khinch le aaya, my belief and my trust has brought me here. He said, you can make any amount of dua, you can go to the Kaaba Sharif, but until Mawlana Qasim Sahib doesn't sanction your dua, nothing going to work. See that? There's a system. Now, ignoring that system, and you're going to do your own thing, turmoil upon turmoil, worry, turmoil, mental distress, because you're not following the route. Imagine now, you boarded the plane, the wrong lane now, right? That is heading for Australia. And you got 100 people on the 27th night of Ramadan, standing before the Hajar Aswad and the Multazam, right in the Kaaba Sharif, making dua that you reach the Kaaba Sharif. Hoga. So with the dua, you need to be on the lane. But just the lane and not the dua, or just the dua and not the lane, then you forget it. So there's a procedure, in everything there's procedures. Yesterday and today, there was a mashwara here in town, Jamaat mashwara, and then some of the seniors came. Today also some Arab from Makkah Mukarrama, Sadat, so they asked for him. So I had nothing prepared, but whatever Allah put in the mind. So I said, see, deen has got two sides. It's got the zahiri perspective, it's got the batini perspective. If you only worked on the zahir and you neglected the batin, then it's half the job. Because the Quran and the hadith is emphasizing on the batin as the zahir. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. What's that? Batin. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. What's that? Batin. But Umar's dua, اللهم اجعل سري خيرا من علانيتي. My inside better than my outside. Outside is nice, wearing kurta, etc., miswak, all that. But اللهم اجعل سري خيرا من علانيتي. My inner self, make it better than my outer self. Outer, it looks nice, but the inner, is that now endorsed by you or not? First person that's throwing Jahannam because of the weakness of the Zahir or Batin. Batin. Mujahid, the wealthy person, and the Alim. On the outside, they did very good for Islam. But there was a rot there, there was a problem in the Batin, first people thrown to Jahannam. See, there's a weakness sometimes in the Ikhlas, sometimes in the Iman. Iman is not right. Right. In the battle of Hunain, Nabi Sam is there, Sahaba Kiram is there, and is a'jabatkum kasaratukum. What was wrong there? Batin was wrong. So the batin, you need to get it right. But now that we are not concerned about. Mulana going to the madrasa, 7 years, 8 years, finish. So is the batin right? Have you perfected, have you cleansed the right, the batin? Or have you worked on it? Or are you working on it? So the zahir, or the tabligh jamaat, or the madrasa, right, they will work on a certain line. Their work is to work, to get the work right, right? But now they will tell you, you have to go to the mashayikh, ulama-i kiram, for other matters. Now you just work on the zahir, and you left out the batin then, then what will happen? What will be the end of this work? The end of the work will be just a customary thing, a formality. So like you're working this side, you're working on that end as well. People had seen her, Umar radiallahu anhu, carrying a water bag and delivering the water to the Muslim homes. When he's the Khalifa of the Muslimin, and the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire is at his feet. It's conquered all. At that time, they seem to go there. And in the eastern countries, the first Hajj I saw this thing here. They have that water bag, and they serve it. Now you don't, that's all gone, finish. That's about that cooler, the coolers. That first time I went, I saw that. They would have a bowl, and they would have that leather skin, right? And they would feed the hadis. The other things I saw there in the Medina, so you leave your shoes there, and there's a person that looks after the shoes. Now imagine the crowd that comes there, but as you're going out, hadi, your shoes. How they bring out? That was a karabat or his own. Thousands of hands they are going through, thousands of feet they are going through. And he already looked at it well. Haji, oh, these are shoes, take it. So anyway, we're talking about this. The lane and the people, both are important. Both. You can't ignore either of the both. And the better the relationship, the greater the benefit. In tasawwuf they call it Rabtul Qalbi bi Shaykh. The connection with the Shaykh. Like in your worldly matters, the better the relationship with your parents, the better your dunya goes. Your dunya goes well. The relationship is good. You saw a father and you avoided him in this side, that side, not greeting him, not coming to talk to him. Well, there, but you know, I don't need to see him, because I see him every day. So I don't need to talk to him. Is that on for your father? Tomorrow you become a father and your children have that relationship with you. Is that on? So you need to have that bonding and that familiarity. Now you don't have that and you want things to happen, then it won't happen. See? Although you're doing everything else, but you want this. See, this is what Fazlur Rahman told him. The whole world can make dua, but until Mawla Qasim Sahib doesn't intercede here, it's not going to happen. Not going to work. At last he came here and he had to just tell Mawla Qasim Sahib, right? And straight away the reply came, it's done, finished. The whole case, they've dropped it. But now see that. He made dua here, dua that side, that side. But he failed to follow procedure. When he failed to follow procedure, that was because of his pride. You see, all these people that collapsed was because of the pride. فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Look at it. فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَرِحُوا بِمَا جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. The Rasul came, right? When they came, then they were too proud about their accomplishments, their skill, their knowledge. Say, we are too advanced. What the Nabi knows? We know science, technology, we know all these things here, what it is. So they are too arrogant. So that arrogance then prevented their path. See, the arrogance prevented their path. But now you'll see this common line in every person or every people that collapsed. It was the arrogance that caused the collapse. Shaitan, again, what was the reason for the collapse? Arrogance, anakhir, right? Then خلقني من نار وخلقت من. So he looked at the person with despise and looked at himself with pride. What is this man? It's made of dust, clay. Fir'aun again, أم أنا خير من هذا الذي هو مهين. Am I not better than this despicable wretch? أم أنا خير من هذا الذي هو مهين. So I'll just explain this, alright? So here, these people that are proud about their achievements, their accomplishments, their progress, right? That also in itself is ridiculous to be proud about it. Because whatever their discoveries and accomplishments are, it's linked up to the work of the past. See, people in the past, they made some discoveries, right? They brought it to a certain point. And then people of this era, they took it on from this point here. They got the lead from the people of the past. Then these people, they moved on from this point. So can they claim that entire credit from themselves? Right. And then the Quran Sharif second says that, forget that there's a second point, right? The third point is this, they claim the accomplishment for themselves, right? These people in the past, ashadda minhum quwwa, akthara jama, right? They were even more advanced. So what they have done, that's the base. You've just taken it from the base and you've moved on. So when you moved on, you forgot them. See that? I say, isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that being unappreciative, inappreciative? Isn't that? Then the third thing was, I'll come and show you how this thing is working. Then, when they counted that as their personal accomplishment, we brought it to this level. We did it, right? So then, from that point, they forgot Allah Ta'ala. Right? When they forgot Allah Ta'ala, I say, now that two things happen. We did it, I made it do. Utitu ala ilmin indi, I got it because of my understanding, my knowledge, my hard work, I got this thing here. Not because of this person, no, but I got it because of myself. So when you reach this point here, then they calculated and they moved out Allah Ta'ala from the equation. Right? So Allah Ta'ala was out. Then it resulted in two things. One is then they have done away with Allah Ta'ala and they went on to the evolution theory when they did away with Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, the way of the pious, Allah min faddi Rabbi, this is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala, nothing of my own. Do you see partly me and Allah Ta'ala? Do you see that? Allah min faddi Rabbi is just the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, just His grace, nothing besides that. Now these are the great, great Anbiya. La ilaha illallah wahda, nasara abda, hazim al ahzab wahda. So, who is he passing the credit to himself? All the 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama, 8 years in Medina Munawwara, torture, his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, and she's going through the gruesome tramp of her experience, and she's killed, she passed away in that, right? But he attributed to his thing. Nasr al-Azab wahda, he did it himself. You will make shukr, alhamdulillah, alladhi faddalani, that Allah Ta'ala graced me with this. But you don't take Allah Ta'ala out of the equation. So when they did this, what happened to them? So they moved Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because that will go against their science, against their technology, and against their personal achievements and investigations or inventions. Because then they will have to attribute all these things to Allah Ta'ala. Not to their own invention. Everything would have to be attributed to Allah Ta'ala. Not to their personal selves. So they don't want that to happen. They want to attribute the inventions to themselves. I did this, I made this happen. This. So then when they came to this point, so Allah Pak says, Nasullaha fanasiyahum. They disregarded Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala also disregarded them. Nasullaha fanasiyahum. They disregarded Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala also disregarded them. But when Allah Pak disregards someone, then He'll do the most despicable of things. Can you see that? So Allah Pak addressed them as Bani Adam. And they call themselves Bani Banu Baboon. You see that? How did Allah Pak address them? With respect. Right? Show them their ancestry, how it originates. Bani Adam. And then they attributed themselves to the baboon, or the monkey, or chimpanzee, right? Ape. So that is a result of you forgetting Allah Ta'ala. Nasullah fanasiyahum. Right? Then that baboon ki awlad, it didn't stop them then. Then they made a compulsory feature in the curriculum, the school curriculum, they made it compulsory. You don't pass that, you fail your exams. So, ضلوا وأضلوا. What? ضلوا وأضلوا كثيرا. وضلوا عن سواء السبيل. They went off. But then they said, but why should we go alone and roast in Jahannam? Take others also. So make it a compulsory feature in the curriculum so everybody has to learn. Right? But you see what happens. So, where it started from, it started from the disregard of Allah Ta'ala. They wanted to take that credit for themselves. Not to pass the credit to Allah Ta'ala. So there's no Allah Ta'ala, then what will happen? What will be the next thing? Then the next thing will be that everything will be right. nothing is wrong, because we did of our own, right? When we made it happen, then is anything wrong? What we say would be right, and what we say would be wrong. Can you see that? Allah is removed from the equation. What we say is right, and what we say is wrong. So when Allah is removed, then is there any vestige of shame left in the person? Right? So that's why the hadith says, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. Then do what you want. Because that shame was an inborn thing. You saw your father, you were going to meet him, respect him, or avoid him, recognize him, respect him, talk about him. Hide and seek, this side, that side, friend, this side. Yeah, diwangi. Then, I remember the time when our mashayikh used to come, we'll make a point to go and see them, make a point to go and visit them. Our ustads in Dioban, if they were walking and we are sitting here, we won't remain seated in that group. We'll go and greet him, let him pass, and then we'll carry on. But now, seeing that ustad, seeing that great senior person, alright, nahnu rijal, mahum rijal, we are men, they are men. So, take cognizance of their presence, or just ignore them, it's alright, one of the same, it's both one and the same. Take cognizance of their presence, or don't take cognizance. So that's haya, but is a fatak al haya. Because haya, shame and modesty, it prevents you. You won't talk loudly, you won't speak back, you won't back chat, you won't recognize his presence, you won't go and meet him. Right? And then the small things also, this mashayikh will correct you. So I know I was in Rietfontein one day. So it was after Maghrib now, we were preparing for Isha, it's about half an hour. So there were some kitabs there, so I pulled out one kitab, and just then, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah had pulled in from his room. So he asked, kya cheez hai? So at that time, his eyes wasn't so good. So I said, ki koi kitab hai? Kya hua? Main samajh raha tha ki koi ghada hoga. So he corrected me. What he's telling me, that I also understand it's a kitab, but what kitab is this? See that? So you appreciate this. There's small things, and up to now I remember, and I feel a remorse that I didn't understand what he was saying. I should have at least tried to work out, alright, what was he referring to, and give him an appropriate answer. But this is a kitab. So was that the right answer? See that? So they're correcting you in the small things, in the bigger things, teaching you adab. And that's why they say when that other believes you, then there is no obstruction. After that, you can do what you want. What you want, what comes to your mind, you just do it. See that adab, how important it is. So that's like a buffer for makruhat. And makruhat is a buffer, it's like a stopper for haram. And that is that's a protection against disbelief. But this was collapsed. Then, but now see this woman, what they said. See, we are in this house here, in this Hindu's house, and something happens then, but where their minds went. Up to now, I think of it, I think how refined their manners were. Once they did it, but they immediately realized it's not the right place for us to be in. Almora Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi. My namaz, all is just flowing. Let's talk about this thing. So he is the ustad of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed was the revivalist of the 13th century. Like you get 14th century, more Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, more Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, the Sheikh al-Islam, the Shah Sahib, they are the revivalists for the 14th century. And the last century it was as Mullah Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi. Great, great saints, like you get Hazrat Mawla Abdul Rahim Sahib, not Mawla Abdul Rahim Sahib, who is the Sheikh of Mawla Abdul Rahim Sahib, Mufti Ilahi Bakhash. They were great, great, you know, elders, like kings in Tasawwuf also. But when they saw Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib, they went all in and joined up with him. They understood now, from this point here, he takes on. And we don't link up with him, we're gone. They themselves are Khilafat and everything else. But then, what was the thing that pushed them to go and link up with him? They understood, they recognized. So we have that adab, the respect and regards. Then Allah Ta'ala guides you, right? Now, you went far, but now for you to go forward, then you have to... Whereas, he is the khatim of Masnavi Sharif. Ghulam Rahmatullah, when he finished his kitab, then one chapter was left. So he says, someone is going to come and complete this. That was Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh. He came and completed it. So you see these people here, how great they were. Then they link themselves to Hazmat Sayyid Ahmed Sahib Rahmatullah. Now Sayyid Ahmed Sahib, on one side, he is the student of Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib. Right? And on the other end, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib is his murid. Student becomes the sheikh. But they know, they recognize, they understand, they respect. They evaluate accordingly, right? So now the student, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed, is with the student, Sayyid Ahmed Sahib, and they're going to one field. Right? Mawlana is still young. And his sheikh also is even younger, with young. They're going to one field. Now look at how refined they were. How refined. In the midst of that fair, Sayyid Sahib is telling his ustad, Mawlana Ismail Sahib, Rahmatullahi, this was an expert in Hadith and Quran, everything, right? Expert. He was such an expert, just to show how expert an expert he was. We don't recognize these people. He's got 10 people sitting before him, and he's dictating 10 different sciences, Nahu, Sarf, Fiqh, Hadith, Tafsir. But his dictation was such that nobody's pen would lift up before he can finish his year. Nobody's pen is dictating it. So one is his dictation is so fast, swift, and one is his mind is so swift, he can relate to fiqh, science, da'wat, hadith, one shot. And it means that 10% coming back here. So his mind was so sharp. So don't think these people didn't have it. Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib is his uncle. Ismail Sahib's father passed away. Abdul Ghani Sahib passed away when he was quite small. So the uncle had then made the tarbiyat in. The whole family was concerned now. Ismail Shaheed, and his father is late. He's still small. Now we need to give him a direction. See how they thought that time. That family work together. Right? Now Abdul Aziz Sahib is worried that when Ismail, I need to give him a direction. But he's not coming to the program so much. So anyway, in those days, I remember when we were small, so the toilets were outside. Small. I don't know if you've seen that. The toilet was outside the house. So Abdul Aziz Sahib is outside in the toilet. And Ismail Shaheed Sahib is imitating Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib word for word. He's about 7-8 years of age, word for word. And he gave 7-8 additional points on the bayan. Gave the word, the whole bayan, and 7-8 other points. So now this boy doesn't need to come. Because he picked up very well. And you can extract things out of it. So he's picked up, and he's picked up very, very well. But you see now. But see the concern, and see how bright he was. So, anyway, now in this sphere, and Sayyid Sahib is telling his ustad, Mawlana Ismail Sahib, do you know which family you come from? Brother Shah Waliullah Sahib. And up to now, there's 3 centuries have passed, we are following the same school, that taught you the same. Right? You know which family you come from, and you know where you are sitting, you know where you are. Whereas, I know about the affair, but I heard a little bit, right? In your few ottomans. There's no such a thing like immodesty, immodest dressing, music, all that. There'll be some show, monkey, donkey, all these things. That's a fair. So do you know where you are? And you know which family you come from? My smells have remained silent for that moment, for 1-2 seconds. He says, yes, I have wronged. And there will never be a repetition to this. There'll never be a repetition to this. Now we see now, and what we are doing, what type of environment they were in, it was clean. It wasn't dirt. it wasn't something that was contaminated, but is not in keeping with the shan of that personality. And one advice from the student, and it goes straight, no, I can't be here. I can't be here. What's going to happen? Today I'm taking my children, etc. there, right? What's going to happen to them? Tomorrow what's going to happen? Oh, yeah, a boy should come here also. One young boy, 13, 14 years of age, so he comes to explain his halat, you know, spiritual condition. So he says, my father takes me to the shop. But, hey, you know, I can't go there, man. I knew what he's referring to, but I want to make it clear in my mind that this is what he's referring to. So one of these young girls there, all the knees are all up, exposed, white girls, all that, I get just too consumed, you know, because white is right, white is bright. So just joking with him, before I start shouting, I have to joke. If it's a joke, then I'll give it to you after that. I see you are racist, huh? You're not talking about black, you're talking about white. So then after that, son came nice chutney after that. But now, the father needs to understand, these children are growing up. You're bringing them in this type of environment. What's going to get inside their hearts? Then that poison that gets into the heart, I think, is it easy to flush it out? You know, I work with people. Sometimes it takes 25 years, 30 years to flush that poison out. But now we're exposing these children to these type of places. And khuda na khasta, if their eyes get stuck on one of these things, then they are responsible, but who? Dallu wa dallu kasira. You went wrong, and you misguided them as well. You went wrong, and you misguided them as well. Don't you see what's going on? There must be a reason why that is saying, well, yasaka baituk. Your house must be sufficient for you. There must be a reason why that is saying that. And this was wasting our time. He knew what's going on. He knew Allah showed him what's going to go on. That's why he said, As-sabiru ala dini kal-qabidi al-jamal. In Tirmizi, he says, he's got about three sulasiyat. They say this is one of the sulasiyat. The one that is holding on to his deen is like holding on to a burning ember. And I will take them here, take them there, everywhere, ball, everything. Then you see some things in the child after that, in your woman, in your child. And then you see, anna laka hadha. Where this thing came from? Woman indik, this came from you. You started this off. You planted that seed. Now look at this. So the right thing, why you understand these things here, make tawbah, cry, kulatala, speak to them. But don't go to these places. Don't go. You know, it's all loaded. I ask these youngsters, right? The other thing I do, this is my mind, right? My mind. So I ask them, if they went, those young girls there, right, half naked in those malls, right, and there wasn't that lights and music, things were a little bit haphazard, right? Because the same stuff but haphazard. Would you ever want to go into the hall or the mall? Then what's attracting you? Is the right thing attracting you to this place, or the haram thing is attracting you? What's attracting you to this place? That's why they say that summa awrasna al-kitab al-ladhina istafayna. This company is too important. See, I'm looking at the lives of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. So Abu Sabit, you know, he says, I was in the masjid in Damascus. And the dua that came out of my lips was, Allahumma arham ghurbati. Allahumma arham ghurbati. And, wayassir li jalisan saliha. Allah Ta'ala, I'm a stranger to this place. Make it easy for you. Bless me in this. Anis wahshati warham ghurbati. I'm a stranger in this place here. So this loneliness that I'm finding, to expel that and make me feel comfortable. And the third dua, wayassir li jalisan salihan. And give me a good company. Muslim Muhammad Shafi Sahib comments on this. This is now a tabi. And then his dua was audible. The Sahabi that was next to him was Abu Darda. When he heard the dua, he says that if you are true, then I am more fortunate than yourself. Because Allah gave me a pious company without me even asking. Now see the Sahabi, but how he counts himself when he sees the next person. You see that fana. Right? You can't get anything. Without this fana, you can't get anything. You have to bring it. That's fana. The more you fana yourself, the more you come up. The more you fana yourself. And then Abu Darda tells him, see, I heard one hadith directly from the Prophet, and I'm sharing it with you. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. So two things with this, what the Shavizab says. One is, he says that this good company was such an important ingredient in the life of the old. That he's coming to an area, the first big concern is, I need some company. I need some right company, I need, and make it possible for me. Amr ibn Maymun, same thing, right? And he's in Yemen, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, just comes in. Rajulan ajashya sawt. A little big voice. You know, some people got big voice. Like Mullah Khalid, he's got a nice voice. Big voice. So Mu'adh was that. He's a beloved of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but his voice was a little bit high-pitched. Rajulan ajashya sawt. And he kabbar, he said, Allahu Akbar. He said, ulqiyat muhabbatuhu fi qalbi. Straight away, this is the takbir, and his love just went to my heart. فَمَا فَارَكْتُهُ حَتَّى دَفَنْتُهُ بِالشَّامِ. Then I kept to his side. I didn't duck and dive, go this side, that side. Come, came when I want. فَمَا, see the words. فَمَا فَارَكْتُهُ حَتَّى دَفَنْتُهُ بِالشَّامِ. I remained on his side, Amr ibn Maymun is saying, until I buried him in Sham. See that company. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Socho, kya karna chahiye? Imam Bukhari sahab is when he's reached to his peak, you know. So they ask him, now you are at that level that lam tara mislaka, you didn't see a person like yourself. But at this level, what you would desire? He says, my desire, my ardent desire is my ustad, Ishaq ibn Rahiwi, Yahya ibn Ma'in, if they were alive, I'll go sit by them. But he's at that level, he's overtaken all his ustads. But then how he feels indebted to his elders. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, he's also asked a similar question, that what your heart's desire? See, you know, I can give away all my wealth if I just have to see Imam Abu Hanifa once. But you see how, what was the bond? So you, in every madrasa, every day you see Abu Yusuf said this, he said this, Qazi al-Qazat, he said this. But what you attribute it to, what respect, appreciation they showed, and Allah Ta'ala let that flow. See that? So we're talking about Abu Darda and Abu Sabit al-Iran. See that companionship, that bonding that must be there. Nabi Sim is going for Hijrat, and Abu Bakr is saying, Al-Hijra Ya Rasulullah, Al-Suhba Ya Rasulullah, can't I join you? See that? وَصَاحِبُ فِي الْغَارِ. Until Allah Ta'ala will say, he is the companion. So therefore, if someone rejects the companionship of Abu Bakr, he's a kafir. Because the Quran has endorsed it. Now who can then after pull him out from that? When Allah Ta'ala himself has endorsed his being a sahabi, then who can remove him from that? You see that? So we see this companionship. So that companionship brings about the color. You're not going to get it anyway. You have to. That has to be. That's the sunnat Allah fi alladhina khalaw min qabl wa lan tajid li sunnati Allah tabdila. It's a way of Allah Ta'ala. You're not going to find a change. You want a mango, right? It's green. Right? It's matured, but it's green. And you put it into a fridge. Will it ever see ripeness? You're making dua after dua, dua after dua. It's about ripen the thing. Kabib. That's a sunnat Allah fi alladhina khalaw min qabl. You're not making nikah. Allah Ta'ala, give me awlad. Zuriyatan tayyiba, zuriyatan tayyiba. That happened once in the history, never to be repeated. Right? Isa alayhi salam, once it happened. But you'll ever get a repeat. And there can't be a repeat. Because when that happened, the wahi was there to support Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam. But now the wahi is in qata, finished, closed. Now someone says, I'm Maryam, like Maryam Bibi. What do you say? Wait, jiwa ko sab sahi kar do bhai. that Maryam Batul is finished, the story is finished, once he did it, and never to be repeated. Because that wahi is cut off, khalas, not to be repeated again. So that's the procedure you have to follow. Sunnatullahi fil ladhina khalu min qabl. You're not going to find a change. It has to be. Do you like it? You don't like it. But now, the interesting thing is then, what was the message that Hazrat Abu Darda gave to Abu Sabit? He says, I heard this directly from Rees Tafsir, I'm sharing it with you. أَوْرَسْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Then, we made our selected servants the heirs of this kitab. What? Our selected servants. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ. That word that Allah Pak used for the Anbiya, He is using for this Ummat. Can you see that? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ. And the same word He is using for this Ummat. So every Ummat of this, every person of this Ummat, he is chosen, he is favored. So he says there will be three categories. مِنُمْ صَالِمُ لِنَفْسِي مِنُمْ مُقْتَسِمْ مِنُمْ سَابِكُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Some people will cause it, like us now, cause it. One good you're doing, 50-100 wrong you're doing. So some like zalims, right? And then you get a second muqtasid, they take a moderate path. And the other one, sabikum bil khairat. These are forerunners, all good. So Aisha explains now, who this forerunner, who is the average, and who is the zalim. So this question was in my mind, you know. But can't we just be on the average, moderate? It was in my mind for years. Right? And the answers were coming. So this morning someone asked, some guest came, and he asked me, can't we just do on that moderate path? I said, no, but I don't. I said, why? I said, everything else, you can make a plan. Didn't work out, you did something else, made a plan. And after all, the dunya is not so important that you must be the forerunner. If you're the forerunner, then what? Milat or kya milat? Apple also got it. Bricks also got it. They all got it. So where they are? They're still Jahannamis. You know, Iman. Well, you got one chance. One chance to you rather just be the forerunner. So the forerunner, one of the features is they will leave out even the permissible out of fear that they don't fall into haram. Understand? So I'm saying now, you don't go to a hall. You don't see it haram. More, you don't see it haram. But is there the chance of you falling into wrong? Ask yourself. Fima bayna kabira Allah. Allah maktufi.